Who's Talking on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former UVA basketball standout Jim Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and classic Hobbo humor. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, Moore's Volvo, LeClaire Ryan, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, CapTech Consulting, TheSaber.com, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Associates, Zacharias Ganey Health Institute, and La Mer Restaurant. Now, Who's Talking is on Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
Well, good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host Jim Hobgood. Well, the Virginia football team played fairly well for much of Saturday's game. It was chilly. It was very windy. And despite some excellent defense, the Wahoos could not pull off the upset down in Blacksburg against VPI. Hats off to the Hokies. They did just enough to survive. On the other hand, Wahoos at least beat the spread, which is a nice thing to see, and I think they've clearly closed the gap. I think Virginia would be expected to beat Virginia Tech next year in Charlottesville, and that should give everybody a little bit of pause of something to smile about. The football season is over for UVA, but basketball is getting underway full speed ahead, and Hobbo's and Corey Alexander are going to have fun in the second half hour today. Anyhow, we're glad that you joined us.
Yeah, Frank, talking about windy and chilly, I had to check, make sure we hadn't tuned into the Weather Channel here, you know, the forecast for tomorrow. Cold, rainy day. But at any rate, this is indeed Hobbo, and we are glad that you're here. Frank barely made it. He's doing a Terry Gates tonight, just getting here moments before tip-off. But as he made reference, we'll talk football in the first half hour with Dr. Bobby Call and another doctor, our friend Dr. Jody Smith, will call in to just sort of sum up the football injury situation and maybe talk a little bit about the basketball injury situation as well. And as Frank made reference to, our other friend Corey Alexander, a former radio analyst who now has turned to a TV analyst, and of course former UVA and NBA point guard, will join us. And he has seen the Cavs, I think, at least a couple of times in person. So he'll be able to speak to us, particularly relative to Tevon Jones, the new point guard who's made a difference. But anyway, Chris Sill, who is also here, will tell you how to follow the show.
All right, guys, Who's Talking is streaming live on SportsRadio910.com and TheSaber.com. So we encourage everyone, go ahead, post comments on Facebook, search Who's Talking, and become a fan. All shows are archived on TheSaber.com or call in to 345-0910. We encourage fans, everyone, to download the iHeartRadio app to listen live on their smartphone. Comments are welcome.
Well, Frank, I think you made reference to the one takeaway I had from Saturday, other than the fact that, you know, if Rocco had just thrown that ball in front of Perry Jones rather than behind him when it was 14-7 Virginia, who knows? But a lot of what-ifs there. But
And a few other plays, but that clearly
That was a big play.
Was very close.
Well, he had to reach behind him, but, I mean, that certainly would have been a first down. He may have been able to run in for a touchdown, and if it's 21-7 at that stage, who knows? But at any rate, I agree with you. I think the talent differential between Virginia and Virginia Tech
has
basically minimal or gone away, and I think with another recruiting class, I think it will go away. So I think from this point forward, and I think next year in Charlottesville, I wouldn't say must win, but Coach London and the Hoos need to figure out a way to win that game in Charlottesville next year against the Hokies.
No two ways about it. Virginia may have better skill players now, and clearly with Smoke Mizell coming, among others. No reason to think Virginia with plenty of quarterbacks.
plenty of quarterbacks. Maybe a few too many.
maybe we could can we trade Sims for three players to be named later?
Well, at least a draft choice.
Chris is wincing over here.
Maybe we can get a number one selection down the road.
I think unfortunately for Philip Sims, he may have hurt his hand on that follow-through.
I think he probably just stoved a finger or something. Well, I think he'll be fine.
He had x-rays yesterday. We don't know the results of that, actually.
Well, he's got a few months to get better. You know, spring ball doesn't start until, what, April?
All right, without further ado, why don't we bring on one of our favorite analysts and an excellent sponsor, Bobby Call. Bobby, are you there?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Very good. Thank you for calling in tonight.
Hey, great to be back, as usual.
Well, you know, let's talk about some major issues for the football team. Number one, looking at maybe the roller coaster sort of effect of the season, clearly Virginia was playing much better football in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season. But at the same time, you know, 2-2 in these last four games could have been 3-1. I'm not sure about Carolina game because they still had to play the whole fourth quarter, even if they scored a down to the end zone late in the third. What are your thoughts just on the football team and the whole program in general, looking at this being the end of the third season for Mike London?
Yeah, well, I think this is the year to forget for sure. You know, football teams take time and talent to build. He's got a young team. And, you know, next year we're going to have guys coming out of the redshirt year. This year there were young D-backs. I mean, it was a classic case of just youthful mistakes, inconsistency, mental errors, rookie mistakes. You know, when you got true freshmen playing, you know, that's kind of a sign of desperation. So, or extremely great talent. And you can play freshman, first yearman when you've got a lot of great talent and they're great. You know, you got to have a good team for the freshman to make, here and there to make a big impact. So I think that inconsistency, I hope, will get better as these guys have had another year under their belt, another year of playing together, and hopefully for the coaching as well. You know, making risky plays without great talent is kind of a recipe for failure. And when you've got great talent, you can make riskier calls.
So, you know, that's an interesting perspective. I hadn't thought of it like that. We're going to touch on some of the risky plays that were attempted. You, having been a defensive back for Virginia back in the 70s, talk to us a little bit about how the defensive secondary matured this year from your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of mistakes. You know, it was interesting, like I talked last time, that, you know, these guys seemed to a lot of times stay with their players, but then they never broke on the ball. And I think part of that's getting mature enough to watch the quarterback while playing your man out of the corner of your eye. You know, when you watch the quarterback, you can it's like stealing on the pitcher. You steal on the pitcher, not the catcher. So you intercept the ball breaking on the quarterback, not the receiver. So, I mean, I hope, you know, we've got great talent in the sense of athleticism, so hopefully they can work together to do more interceptions, more breakups of passes, and also, you know, we've got to get a rush on the passer. You know, the best pass defense there is a sack, so and get their hands up on, you know, on the defensive line, so hopefully we'll improve on that as well.
Yeah, we're visiting with former UVA football player, defensive back, Dr. Bobby Call. And Frank gave you the introduction. He forgot to mention one thing. You're a terrific doctor, too. I think we ought to point that out. You know, but just a question from a standpoint of spring ball, what's going to have to happen to resolve the quarterback situation?
Somebody's got to step up and play football. You know, it's really up to the player to get up in there and make the plays. You know, it's not the coaching people staff that's going to do it. A player's got to step up and do the job. And I don't know who that's going to be. That was one of the problems this year. We were unsettled at QB. Nobody rose to the top and stayed there. There was too much inconsistency. And I don't know if, you know, a senior year or, you know, one more year is going to make that difference. I don't know.
Certainly, for certain, David Watford has something to say about that. And redshirt Grayson Lambert probably wants to throw his hat in there next year as well.
I agree. I think, you know, you got to give those guys a chance to play. And if I were a quarterback, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be throwing to Jake McGee.
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to out-jump him? Yeah, a D-back, a linebacker? Heck no. And if they can make him a consistent player and producer, well, then that's going to open up secondary receivers. You know, people can be looking for him, and guess what? Hey, we kick somebody else out there, and we throw to him.
Yeah, but
so
you,
Jake McGee. I mean, if I'm playing quarterback, I'm going to Jake.
They didn't throw to any of the tight ends in the second half.
I don't know what happened.
And that, to me, that's mind-boggling. If Tech is in man-to-man all over the field, certainly those tight ends should be able to break free against any linebacker. It's not like Tech has any Lawrence Taylors out there.
That's right. Right now, just out-jump somebody.
I agree.
The problem with, you know, having our youngsters out there, big plays killing us. You know, if we can just stay close in a game and make big plays, we're going to win. And I think with a little more age and experience, hopefully we'll start to make the big plays. And you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see some no-huddle offense. You know, as a defensive player, defense is all about the three R's, right? It's read, react, and rocket. You got to roll, you know. So it's a frenzied pace. You know, you don't really hear anything about, well, the offense ran 90 plays, and they didn't get tired, right? You don't hear about an offense getting tired. You hear about the defense getting tired because they play at such a frenzied pace because you don't know what's coming at you. I think, you know, look what the no-huddle offense did against us. So, hey, let's turn around and run that against some people. Let's get some more interesting plays, you know. Let's pick out – there's so many great plays out there that put the defense at a disadvantage that nobody could cover. Hey, let's do some research and get some of those in our playbook.
Hey, we got a caller. I believe Ben is holding from Chesterfield. Ben, are you there?
Yes.
Ben, what's your question for Bobby Call?
Wanted to ask a player like yourself, John, to be able to ask you a question. I'm a longtime Who fan, 50 years. I've traveled all over the country watching them. I'll preface my comments by saying that. But I'm befuddled by London not leaving some clock to give his team a chance. It looks like to me, if I was a player, I'd be saying, you know, what is this? You know, in the times of stats, they talk about, well, the wind was blowing against us and this, that, and the other. To me, there's no excuse. It's indefensible to say that when Durrell's kick goes through, would I still like to have another chance? Yes. And he didn't take it. I'd like for Dr. Call to weigh in on that.
Anyway, regarding the I got cut off there for a second. But regarding that last minute and the field goal?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, you definitely want a chance to do something and come back. You know, even if the chips are down, you know, I kind of agree. I want a chance to get in there and at least get a field goal and tie it, you know, however, because that's, you know, two big pass plays and you might have something there. So I agree. Give your kids a chance to do something. You know, icing out from a short field goal with the wind, you know, I don't know that. The odds are, you know, I'm not sure that's going to be that helpful. You know, that can't second guess London, and I think he's a great coach. He's done a great job for the program. He gets the kids to class. He's getting great athletes. It's one of those cases that's going to take time. Look how long it took Beamer. You know, it was 5 years before he started winning up there, and it wasn't until he got Vic that, you know, they really started producing. I mean, we're getting great athletes. I just hope it's a matter of time. I think London's smart. I think, you know, we're a smart school. You know, let's run smart plays. I think, you know, there were mistakes this year, but, you know, live and learn. That's what being smart's all about, and getting an education. And I hope he's getting a good football education, and he'll be able to come out and be a smarter coach next year. I know he's saying that to himself. Hey, I want to be a better, smarter coach next year.
And I think he deserves that, right? Very quickly, I think what we're going to do, Bobby, is stay with us on the line here. Here, LeClaire Ryan, play of the game, comes from the big game on Saturday. To me, clearly, it was the surprising fake field goal attempt by the Hoos from VPI's 21-yard line late in the third quarter. That decision to go for it was huge. The ball was snapped to holder Jacob Hodges. He ran hard to the right side, gained 6 positive yards, but it ended up being about 2 yards short. VPI took control of the ball at that point. They actually went on their own drive and scored. To me, that was a huge swing in the game. We have about a minute before we go to break, but we want to thank LeClaire Ryan for being the play of the game during football season. What were your thoughts on the fact that Virginia went for it in that situation, even though they had the wind at their back and that they had a chance to go up by 10 points?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, put points on the board, keep the momentum going. You kick off and to put them deep in their, you know, deep in their side of the field, and hopefully they punt, we get better field position, and we keep going.
Those are my thoughts on it, but I wasn't coaching at the time, so who knows what was going on with the players and all that on the sidelines.
Well, they must have seen something on the film that caused them to think that would work. But I think if it's fourth and three, maybe fourth and eight, that's tough. And 38-yard kick, a college kicker ought to be able to make that, I would think.
Particularly with the wind at his back at that point of the game. If they were at the other end of the field, I would never have said boo. I would have said great, good try. In fact, I still thought it was a good try, and I think the scheme worked, but. Again, 8 yards is a lot of real estate on the enemy's home field. I mean, that's just
a lot of risk, and the downside I think was much greater than the upside. Just getting 3 points. Hey, you just keep it rolling, and as I said, hopefully get a good kickoff, keep them back. And the other thing I wanted to say was I hope we can adapt second half. A lot better. The Hokies ran Logan Thomas. He was their only option because he's such a powerful runner. And that's something we need to do, I think, adjust the second half situations and make the appropriate responses to what we're dealing with.
Well, Bobby, all good comments. As always, we thank you for taking a few minutes to join us tonight, and we'll look forward to having you back in the future.
My pleasure. I'll get back to seeing my allergy patients. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Bobby.
Dr. Bobby Call joining us in the first segment. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to have a visit from another doctor, Jody Smith. Stay tuned.